Got your Bibles, turns to Genesis chapter 12 tonight, and I appreciate again Brother Mark having me down, and I appreciate you folks. That every time I come down here, you see some of the same people. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to preach tonight on an altar of commitment. And if there's anything we need to nowadays, we need folks just to get committed to what they're doing. And a lot of places I go, you know, there's just certain things that you see, people you know, and when they're not in their place, you miss them. You know, I've been coming around here, me and Brother Mark was talking today, it's been a long time. He's been here 15 years. So I've been coming around here probably 15 years. Anyway, preaching, and there's some folks you come here and you see them in their place every time. That's a good thing. That ain't always easy to do. Year after year, you know, just same place, doing what you've always done. It gets old sometimes. People say, you know, it gets old. Well, everything gets old, you know. You hang around long enough, you'll get old too. Amen. Said, you know, somebody, that song you sang, if I should live 1,000 years down here, trust me, you're not going to. You may live 100 of them, but you ain't going to live 1,000. And but if you live a long time, when you get done, all that's going to matter is what you've done for the Lord. That's the only thing that matters. And there's days that I preach, I really don't feel as fired up as I want to be or should be. But sometimes I just go do it because it's supposed to be done. Amen. There are just some things you do because they got to be done, man. You got to wash yourself and clean your house. And you got to go to work and you got to go to school. You know, my little boy, my son, when he was just a little fella, he asked one time, he said, why do I have to go to school? I said, you don't grow up and be an idiot? He said, no. I said, well, you got to go to school. Amen. And so he's going to school. He's still going to school. Amen. That took with him. Amen. So that's a good thing. But I do appreciate your faithfulness. But here in Genesis chapter 12, if you'll look with me in verse number 1, the Lord speaking to Abraham. And he said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, as we preach the word of God, I pray that you'd move on us. Help us to feed your people. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, I want to try to preach to you tonight about an altar of commitment. And in this passage, God had spoke to Abraham when he was 75 years old. So, you know, that's getting on up in years, 75. And God spoke to him when he was that old. And I don't care how old you are, young or old, everybody's got a place in this thing that we're doing here in the church. You need a good, steady hand. I heard a fellow one time, I was preaching up in Ohio, and he told me, he stood up and told all the preachers there, he said, I want y'all to pray for my church. He said, I want you to pray that the Lord would give us some old people. He said, we need some old people. He said, we've got young ones. We've got plenty of them. He said, we've got young married couples and stuff like that, and we're doing all right, got plenty of money. He said, we just need somebody around there that knows something. And so you've got your place, and when you think about being old, you think about men like Moses. He was 80 years old when he got his start. Amen. Most guys think they're behind if they're 25 or 30 years old, and they just ain't got everything together yet. But Moses, he was 80 years old, and God called him to lead a nation. Some people flourish when they're young, and some do it when they're older. And those men, they flourished when they got older. Amen. Abraham's daddy was a pagan, and God chose him out of a pagan family, to birth what we know to be the nation of Israel. Amen. And so what he done, he just went out and done what God told him to do when he was 75. And I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to tell you something that you can't do no matter what your age is. Amen. So God speaks to him here, and he gets him away from everything and everybody. And the Bible said in verse 4 that Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He became obedient to the things of God. Now, I want you to look at some things with me tonight about Abraham and his altar of commitment. Now, God had spoke to him, and he told him, he said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He told him that two or three times in that passage of Scripture. He said, you're going to be such a great nation that every family on the earth is going to be blessed because of you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. His obedience meant something. He was being a blessing to people he couldn't see, that hadn't been born, that he would never meet. Your obedience is certainly important tonight. Amen? I believe the Bible put it this way. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. I believe that apathy is eating up our churches, and it's eating up the work of God. So many people, look here, in your walk with the Lord, there's going to be days when your steps are heavy. Amen. Like I said this morning, we're all going to have days where we just don't want to do it. We don't want to roll out of the bed and just do what needs to be done. But if your steps get heavy, just pick your leg up and take one step at a time. Amen? Because it will be profitable. When the Bible said to maintain good works, because this is good and profitable for men. If you just stay the course, there's a lot of things that you're going to accomplish as you get on down the road. I've got old with some of those men that I've been preaching to in prison. Like I said this morning, I've been doing this for 29 years, and there's some of those guys that I started preaching to 25 and 28 years ago, and they'll tell me every once in a while, preacher, we've got old doing this together. Amen. They've been in jail, and I've just been faithful to go over there and preach to them. Amen. They and then through their ups and downs and their hardships, I've just tried to be there. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, always means every minute of every day. He said, what you do is you remain steadfast. You ever come to church and didn't want to come? Now, being honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but being honest in your heart, I'll be honest with my words, I'd have to say amen to that one. Amen? That's just how it is. There's times when I'm thinking, Lord, I don't even like to hear that guy's preaching tonight. Preach. Now, that may be your case, but I appreciate you being here, all right? But anyway, you just go on and you endure sound doctrine, if you will. Amen? But you just come and you listen to Brother Mark, and sometimes one sermon may sound like the last one. And just on and on. But you come anyway, and you just stay steadfast. And the Lord said, that's going to be a blessing to somebody down the road. It's going to be a blessing to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Guarantee you that. Amen. You just keep doing what you're doing. The Bible said in Proverbs 28 and 20, he said, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. He said, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be found innocent. God said that a faithful man is going to abound with blessing. You do what you're supposed to do. You don't see the end result right away. But I'll guarantee you this, there's some people sitting in this building. They've just been faithful to do what they're supposed to do. And they see their little children that they're carrying around in their arms, like them little babies back there, one day just coming over here and doing what they need to do. One day them children walk down the aisle and they get saved by the grace of God. And so now I'll guarantee that's abounding in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. They
some folks ain't got two dimes to rub together when they get right with God, but they just come down here and they'll throw 10 in the plate when they're supposed to give 10 or maybe 20, and on down the road they're dropping Benjamins in the plate. You know why? Because they're faithful to God, and God's been faithful to them, and He said, "You shall abound with blessing." Amen. Can I tell you something? If you go about sowing good things come back. Show a little mercy, you're going to abound in mercy. You show a little forgiveness, you're going to abound in forgiveness. And one day, you're going to need that. Amen? Yeah, has anybody ever come and asked you to forgive them? And sometimes, you don't want to because they've done something really bad to you. I had a guy one time in Rhett was eating, and he pulled me over to a table there in town, and he said, "I've had some real hard feelings towards you." And he said, "I need to ask you to forgive me." And I didn't care. But most of it I forgot about. That's something, you offend me, I forget about. I can't remember much. So anyway, I told my son, I said, "You know what I could have done? I could have said, why are you angry with me? I only talked to you about something that was extremely important that you were supporting that wasn't right." I could have done that, but you know what I did? I just let him clear his conscience. I let him just enjoy the rest of his life. And you know what? Because there's been times when I've had to go to people myself and say, "Look, I've said some things to you, or I've said some things in the pulpit that I'd not say, that might have offended you, that might have hurt you, that I really can't defend with the Bible or whatever, and I need you to forgive me of that." You know what? If you're willing to give it, you're going to get it back. But if you hold back on it some, they're going to hold back on you too. Amen. But he said that a faithful man shall abound with blessing. Romans 12:1 said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." He said, "I'm begging of you." Hey, over and over, preachers all over the years, what they do is they encourage God's people to lay down their land a living sacrifice. When you crawl up on that altar and say, "God, this is all I got. I'm giving it all to you." Hey, friend, in the Old Testament, they gutted that thing and burned it and gave it all to God and couldn't get it off the altar. Amen. Can I tell you something? When you get on this altar to do something for the Lord, sometimes, you know, like I said, He'll give you a talent or an ability. And sometimes along the way, you know, when things are good, I tell you, never judge a preacher on his camp meeting preaching. Yes, sir. You go to a camp meeting, you can stick your head through the window and holler "Merry Christmas," and they'll start shouting. Amen? They'll do it. Everybody think, "Man, that guy is a wonderful preacher." But you put him in that place where nobody wants to hear him. Been there, done that. And then he's got to preach, or you put him in a place where he has got to land all on the line, and there ain't nobody much interested in what he's got to say. You judge him on how he preaches right there in the worst situation. But sometimes you just take what gift God gave you and you leave it on the altar, even though you want to quit sometimes. I've done that too a couple of times. Thought about quitting. I thought about quitting preaching. Lord, I don't know what the ministry would do without me. Probably a whole lot better. I've even told God a couple times, "I'm going to quit." He just basically throws it back to me. "Are you?" You ever hear them people say, "I don't know what we're going to do when that old man dies." I don't know, maybe get somebody sliding his spot. God can do without us. He said a living sacrifice. Can I tell you, a living sacrifice is every day you sacrifice your time, your talent, you sacrifice your family, you sacrifice your own pleasures, and you lay it up on the altar and say, "God, I'm going to give it all to you." And sometimes it's just like a kidney stone. You're going to have to do it at the most inconvenient time. Amen. When you really think, man, I really don't do this thing. But anyway, he said, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, that's your reasonable service. When you think about the sacrifice that the Lord gave for us. Amen. I mean, when I think about God coming from heaven and dying on a cross and giving his last blood that I could be saved, that message you got on that sign down there, how many times has people heard, especially in Athens, Tennessee, how many times they've heard that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so they could get saved. Preachers from down through the years, the young ones and the old ones that's moved off the scene, they just keep telling it and telling it and telling it. You know why? Because they know about the sacrifice that God gave that we could go to heaven. Amen. Look here. That story ain't never got old to me. Sometimes, you know, people think that's all I preach. But look, at heart, I am a soul winner. I love to see people get saved. Amen. He said, when you do that, he said, you prove. Look here, we got to prove ourselves sometimes. Amen. When the Bible says, prove your own selves. Amen. Sometimes you got to prove. He said you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Look here. Wouldn't it be great if every day you was married was like your first date with your wife or your husband? You were so excited. It ain't that way. The new rubs off. You see them with tasseled hair and that crunchy stuff in their eyes. Things change. You thought her breath didn't stink until after you stayed all night with her. And you thought, whoa. You need to go do something about that. Amen? That's the way it's serving the Lord. Some days, it just ain't the warm, fuzzy feeling. You know what I'm saying? But you got to do what you got to do. And what God did with Abraham, he got him away from his friends when he said, look, he said, I want you to get away from your country and your kindred and your father's house. He got him to a place where his friends and his family and his familiar surroundings, they wasn't nothing he could rely on but God Almighty. And every once in a while, the Lord is going to put you in a place where all them people ain't at. Can I tell you, there's been a lot of times I wish I could call my family or my friends or been in a familiar place. But look here, if God ever puts you there, I'll tell you what he's going to do for you. I'll tell you exactly what the Lord's going to do. He's going to do something for you that you'll carry to your grave and you'll always remember, you'll never forget it. Look here, when you get to that place where you've got to trust God more than you do your daddy or your mama or your husband or your wife. Are your parents? Can I tell you something, friend? When you get to that place, Proverbs 3:5 said, trust in the Lord, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There are just places you get sometime that you can't depend on nobody but God Almighty himself. That's where Abraham was put. He was comfortable right there where he was. He was doing pretty well, and God said, I want you to pack up everything you got. Get out there where your daddy ain't at, your family ain't at, going to put you in a land you don't know nothing about, but I'm going to go with you. You just need to not trust in your own ability. Amen. Can I tell you something? Ability is something that America's got plenty of. And we're awful proud of it sometimes. Amen. Can I tell you, you can have church without God nowadays. It's real easy to do. Amen. Get your pretty good choir behind you. Y'all done all right tonight. You done about as good as I'm preaching. So that's why I was looking to y'all, same way you was looking at me right now. I think y'all need to jack it up a note or two, amen? Amen? But I didn't boo you, and I didn't look at you like I was going to vote you out, because I can't do that. But anyway, you can't lean until you understand. You got to acknowledge him, and he'll direct that path. You ever get to a place where you don't know what to do? Best thing to do is stay right there until God tells you what to do. You ever made a decision real fast? You know, I don't know what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Because if you do, trust me, that situation you think ain't going to get no worse is going to get worse in a real big hurry. Amen. Amen. Now, look here. He said he's going to direct your path. God will show up. Abraham lit out and he took out to a place where he didn't know what he was going to encounter, but he said, God told me to go and I'm going to go. I remember when I graduated high school 130 years ago. I remember that guy standing up there and he said, there are jobs that some of you will work that's never even been created yet. And I'm thinking, that guy's an idiot. You know, I'm pre-beeper, man. I was before beepers. Amen. Some of y'all was in here before phones. Amen. That's getting on down the road. Amen. But could you imagine? I mean, I thought, well, that guy's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Uncharted water. And you know, I never dreamed in a million years one day I'd stand up and say, God's put me in the prison ministry. Friend, you can't dream up the job by God. Sometimes I'm going down the road and I think to myself, how in the world did you get here? You take a little old redneck in foothills, East Tennessee, and I'm preaching in Mexico or California or somewhere, and I'm thinking, how did that happen? Look here, you would have never caught me in a prison in Mexico. I can't even speak Spanish. I don't even know what I was doing down there. Amen, but I passed out a whole lot of tracts. Hey, I look here, I just about gave away everything I had because, hey, with so many people asking for so much, I told them I done gave away everything. God, I'm going to get my clothes away. Get me out of this country. I'm telling you, son, Donald Trump had to build a wall 100 feet high and put a shark full of moat full of sharks around that place. If I lived in Mexico, I'd come across that wall too. But anyway, I'm for the wall, by the way. And Bob Corker is an idiot. Don't vote for him. Amen. But God got him out there in a place where he couldn't do nothing but depend on God. And God's going to do the very same thing for you one day. In verse number 7, the Bible said, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent on having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. You know what he did? God told him, he said, you see them stars? He said, that's what I'm going to make out of your people. He's 75-year-old. That's an impossibility. God said, I'm going to give you land that you're going to walk on, that your foot ain't touched yet. And you know what he did? He just built an altar and he thanked God for his promises. Amen. He got on that altar and he started thanking God for his promises, for the protection. He'd been running around out there, didn't know where he was at. Could you imagine? You feel alone sometimes. Could you imagine how some of them missionaries down in Africa feel? That's one good thing about the internet. I tell them, brother, you ain't alone. Amen? You can tell a guy over in Europe or down through Central America, sir, you're not alone. There's somebody there with you. You can Skype with them. You can do all kind of things, but they get down there and they think they're on their own. But every once in a while, just like Abraham, they see God fulfill his promises. They see the provision of God, the protection of God. And that's all Abraham did. He got out there and he said, God, I put my faith in you and I put it all on this altar. And God didn't let him go unpaid. God won't let you go unpaid either. You know what I thank God for sometimes is my Bible. Because sometimes a good song don't do much for you. Have you ever heard a good song and man, you just listen to it over and over and over and over? That'll help you. But look here, when I get in a real tight spot, you know what I need? I need a verse sometimes. I need a verse. Sometimes, you know, God has put us out there. When I went into prison ministry, I thought everybody was going to love me and going to say, hey man, here's your check. It don't work that way. Some of them, I have drove 600 miles and them give me $24. Yeah. This one guy, I drove 600 miles. He said, look, we took you up an offering. Do you mind if we write you a check? I said, sure, man. So he wrote me a check and I got down the road and I almost reckoned looking at it because I was 600 miles from home. You know what I'm saying? I want to see what this old boy done for me. And I opened up that check, $24. I almost turned around, went and slapped him. I just couldn't believe. Why would you take $24 out of a guy's hand and write him a check? I'm like, $24, man. But you know what? I thought, I was down there, man, and that's back when I first started.
I've got enough money in my pocket to get home tonight, whether y'all gave me nothing or not. But back in those days, son, I was riding on bald tires in an old car with no air conditioning. I was thinking, that guy insulted me. That's after he run down churches that would pay somebody something. But anyway, you know what I did? Somehow or another, somewhere along the way, somebody comes up and says, hey, man, God told me to give you this. Now, you know what God was doing? He just testing your faith a little bit. Amen. I don't know if I've told you or not, but I remember one time going to my mailbox, and there was a check in there for $1.36, something like that. And I didn't even pay no attention to that card. It's kind of like graduation cards, you know. You open it up and see if there's a check in there first. I mean, I just got started, man. And I sat at the house, and I've been telling God, God, I'm going to get me a job. And the Lord reminded me, you've got one. It's preaching. And I went out there and I got that check or that little card, and I thought, man, it's a blessing. And I opened it up, and it was $1.36, something like that. And I remember thinking, who would insult me like that to give me a check for $1.36? You ever seen kids when they write things, they'll write a K that big and an R that big? You know, just like they're writing, and it ain't never spaced just right. There was about six kids. You know what they did? They put a little note in there. They signed it, and their teacher put a little note in there. We saved our pennies, nickels, and dimes to help you in the prison ministry. Yes, sir. That's right. You know what I felt like? I felt about that big. And I can't tell you, but the Lord just spoke to my heart. And right there in my driveway, I just bowed my head, asked God to forgive me. He reminded me that if we had to use the kids to keep you out here, we'll use the kids. I'm singing, I'm saving their pennies and nickels and dimes. And God has been faithful through it all. Amen. Amen. And there have just been times, you know, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, and your car, all the lights start blinking on it. Amen? And you ain't got no money in your pocket to fix it. God ain't no mechanic, but he can fix your car. Amen? I know that sounds charismatic, but I'm telling you, been times, son, I'm telling you, the wheel bearing on my car, it sounded like it just rusted together every time that wheel would turn. And God just meet that need, get me back to the house, put it on some mechanic's heart. Hey, you need to, God touched me and told me to do that for you. I was up here last year. I was going on a trip up to Delaware. And my car, my wheel started making a noise. And I don't know, I paid a mechanic to fix the wheel on my car. I had the money to fix it. Amen? And I was around near Washington, D.C., and I remember pulling over, and I'm thinking, man, that wheel don't sound right. And I jacked that car, and that whole wheel was loose. Now, I don't know nothing about brakes and those drums and all that stuff. But as the guy over there worked on them trucks, he was from Russia. His family had immigrated here when he was a little boy. And he said he pulled over there, and you know what his job was? Fixing tires and cars like that. And he said, buddy, the Lord sent me over here. I didn't have no tools, and I couldn't have fixed it even if I had every tool you needed. I don't know nothing about no car. He said, but God told me to come over here and help you. He said, you know what? He said, I never worked for free. He said, I'm doing it tonight. You know what he was? He was a saved man. He was a Russian Baptist. Amen. He had been a Baptist in Russia, and he came over here, and he went to some Baptist church down the road. And you know, you can't tell me that God didn't send him and me about the same time for us to meet at that truck stop, my wheel about to fall off. He told me, he said, you would have been rolling down the road and the whole thing would have fell off. Amen. I got back home, called that mechanic. He said, sorry, man. That's all. I said, sorry, man. I'll fix it better the next time. Ain't going to be no next time. Amen. But you know what? He said, 2 Peter 1:4, he said he's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature.
Can I tell you something? God put something divine in us. And every once in a while, you're going to get a place in your Christian life. You're going to wonder if God's ever going to do anything with you, if you're ever going to be anything for God, and if God's pleased with what you are. And every once in a while, God's going to give you a verse. He's going to remind you that I am in charge of your life, and He'll bring something out of there that's going to make you better. Get you closer to Him, no matter what your need is. Everybody in this building's got a need tonight. And God knows what that need is. And you know what? Sometimes God gives you something you need, just like you do your children, but you don't want. You ever give your kids something they needed, but they didn't want? Amen? But in the end, it was better off. My mother apologized for whipping me one time. She come up, she's crying, man. I was a grown man. I was preaching. I'd been at it for some time. And I don't know, she's getting old and just felt bad about beating on me. I don't know. But she come up and she said, you know, she said, do you remember that day? And I said, yes, I do. She said, I hit you so hard that I think I addled you that day. And she did. I said, it's all right. We've been smoking pot. I didn't feel a thing. Amen. I didn't feel nothing. Amen. It's all good. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm glad that God put some in here. And look here, He gives me some promises sometimes, and He reminds me of where He brought me from, where I'm at, what I'm doing for Him, what He's allowed in my life, how He's opened up so many doors, allowed me to see so many people. I thought, the Lord God, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I got in the need for a wife. I'm going to tell you, young fellas, you better pray about that now. Yes. Now, I had me a girl, and I thought, that's the girl. She could play a piano, and we could sing together, and I was going to preach. Son, I had it all planned out. That's right. But I don't know why. She didn't like that 56 Dodge and me loading trucks. She found a guy with a new Camaro and an office job. I still think I look better than him. He fat. He got all his hair. He fat and ugly. Amen. But you know, God knows, look here, He'll remind, look, God knows where you're at. God promised you a life partner. I preached on that twice today, ain't I? You young people around here with your arms around each other, you didn't quit all that stuff. You got all my stuff on my mind. But look here, God just give me a promise, just like in verses I read to you. Look here, I say, I need something here. Look here, don't get in no hurry about all stuff. There's a promise you're going to read in the Bible. He shall supply all your needs. If that's what you need, that's what God will give you when you need it. But anyway, I don't know how in the world, that ain't even my message. It doesn't even make no sense here. But anyway, faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Your faith. You know what your faith is? You're doing things you can't see. You don't understand. That's what faith is. You're 75. God, why do you want me to move now? God, why do you want me to quit my job? God, why do you want me to do this? And God will give you a verse. That's why. You see the faith of Abraham when he got up and got up. You see the fear of Abraham. You know what you'll do sometimes? You're going to get afraid serving God. Say, hey, you know, I've been in that prison ministry for years. But, you know, going up there to that Red Onion State Prison last week, I was a little bit scared. I don't know why. There's a spirit of fear just overwhelmed me. And I was listening to music, and I was talking to God, and I thought, Lord, I just can't do this. I thought, man, it don't ever happen like that much, but I felt like I was going to pass out. And I don't get afraid of a whole lot of things, but I do get afraid every once in a while. If you've got any sense, you'll be afraid about some things. Yeah. Amen. But, you know, the Bible said this, 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. He said, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It means I got a little bit of work I got to do right there. Amen? But he said, look, there's no need to fear. When Abraham got out there, he got afraid. You know why? Because if you look in the text right here, there was something happened that made him get afraid. I want you to look at verse number 10, where the Bible said there was a famine in the land. You're going to have one of those. You're going to have a time when everything dries up. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Look, even though God had promised him, even though God had supplied for him, even though God had done great things for him, he still went down into Egypt to sojourn there. He went down to a place he ought not ever win. He said, because the famine was grievous, hey, you are going to get in a place like that where everything's going to dry up. And you're going to think you're going to die in that place, and you're going to go where you ain't supposed to go. But the Bible said, and it came to pass, and it always does. He said, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Ain't that a strange conversation to have? You got two senior citizens here having this conversation. Abraham's 75 years old. We know that. Sarah's 10 years younger than him. She's 65. And he stopped that caravan. He said, I know that you're fair to look upon. That means you're looking good tonight. And you're looking real fine tonight. And we're going to have a problem with that. Amen? Look, if you got a pretty girlfriend, there's going to be guys wish they were you sometimes. Amen? So don't pay no mind about how they look or what they say. Just don't get whipped over it. Amen? Just enjoy the fact she's with you and don't worry about it. All right? But anyway, he said they're going to look at you in verse 12, and they're going to see thee, and they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. She's so pretty, they're going to kill him and give her to the king. He already knows what's going to happen. Amen. And so what he says to her, he said, say I pray thee that thou art my sister. And you know what? That's a half-truth right there. Because that was his half-sister. I still think that's a bit weird to marry your half-sister, but he done it. That it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. She had his life in her hand. And he said, when you get down there, and sure enough, they rolled up into town. And when they got there, you know what Abraham did when that famine came? He got real nervous. He got real afraid. His bread just run dry. His wine pot got emptied. Hey, son, his belly started growling, and he went to the world to find an answer to his troubles. And when he got down there, his wife, his pretty wife, she rolled into, she was 65 years old. Think about that. 65, everybody in town noticed her. Ain't no need to marry nobody ugly. I kept my wife blindfolded. She said, I do. And then I surprised her. Turned the lights on. Amen. But look, it ain't no need you doing all that. But what he done, he got down there, and sure enough, just like he said, I want her. He even gave sheep for her. He gave cattle for her. I mean, man just loaded him up and said, all I want, you can have this cow and this sheep and these other things here, these donkeys, and said, I'll take her. He said, good trade. Amen. He got afraid. He thought he was going to die. Can I tell you, there's been a couple of times I got a little afraid in them prisons. You ever had a Muslim in your face right here? And five others around you bumping you? I have. Trust me, I wasn't John Wayne that day. I was a little bit nervous. You ever preach in fear and trembling? I've done it more than once. He starts poking me in the chest, and I can't take it. I start poking him in the chest. And they're bumping me, and they're pulling these guys away from me. And trust me, son, I about passed out when it was all over. But look, his fear, he got down there. Perfect. Look here, you're going to be perfect in love. You're going to have to cast, God's going to have to cast out that fear. Look here, fear is something you're going to have to serve God with. Proverbs 29:25 said, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. When Paul told the church at Corinth, I was with you in fear and in trembling, there was times when he preached, when he was a bit nervous about it, but he said, God told me to do it anyway. Sometimes you just got to serve God in spite of your fears. You know, God tells people stuff for a reason. I tell people stuff just to fill in the blanks sometimes. God never does that. Matthew 10:28, and he said, fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know he told that to? He told it to them apostles that went out and set the world on fire. He said, don't be afraid of those men that can just take your life. He said, you fear me more than them. He said, I could kill both body and soul and put you in hell. Amen. He said, don't you worry about that crew. You know what we do? We get nervous sometimes and afraid in serving God. Even amongst our own family. Anybody in your family make you nervous? Because you know if you say anything, they're going to say something. I can't help myself sometimes. I just get a dose of the can't help it. And if they say something to me, I hear them all you do is go on about that constantly. You know what? If you can keep them out of hell, that's a good thing. Amen? Look here, I've gave tracts to my family, and them look at me and laugh like I'm stupid. I didn't say nothing mean to them. I just gave them something to read and walked away. You know, sometimes you get out there and you'll start doing something, and somebody will try to intimidate you not to do it. Amen? You're going to be surprised. You young people are in here going to be surprised 10 years from now. Some people that you think's really something, they ain't nothing. Amen. I remember when I was in high school, I thought, man, that guy's going to turn out to be great. And I've seen some of them become street-walking drunks. Amen. I mean, just try to intimidate you to do things you ought not do, and you just let them know, hey, this ain't right. I'm going to stand up for what's good and right and holy. Sir, you do it down at your job. They'll try to intimidate you and get to look here. This may cost you your job. What are you going to do? You got to do what's right anyway. All the jobs I ever had, son, you know, I'll be honest with you, if I worked at Cracker Barrel and somebody gave me a hard time waiting on their table and said, let me speak to the manager, and trying to get you fired, I'd say, what, take me away from all this? Look, you can get a job like that anywhere. I'd gave him the apron and left. But look here, there's people that do just intimidation all the time. What are you going to do if you ain't got this? It don't matter. Look here, God don't move just because we get in a little trouble. Amen? Look here. But anyway, y'all had about enough you to take this and look like you have. It's been a slow day. We ain't even been here an hour, man. But we're about ready to leave here because I'm getting done. But you see the fortitude of Abraham. You ever get wrong with God? And I'd be the first one to throw my hand at Miss Bill and say, yes, I have. You ever been wrong? There's some people will never own it. There's a preacher I know. He told me this one time. While us preachers was talking about saying things in the pulpit we wish we hadn't said. This guy, you know what he said? He said, I don't feel bad about nothing I've ever said in the pulpit. I've heard him preach. He needs to. He needs to. I probably reminded him of two or three things that night. He said, I've been so well trained. And I'm thinking, well, man, don't we us all wish we had your teachers? Amen? Trust me, I've said some things I wish I'd never said in this pulpit. Not in just this one, in other ones. Amen? But look here. There's been times I've got out of line out there. When I first got saved, you get me mad, I'm liable to say some things I ought not to you. You ever lose your cool at work? Somebody get on your nerves and you blow up on them? Amen. And they think, well, I thought he was a Christian. Well, they do think that, but they know you, man. You got to have better sense than that. Look here, I've had to tell guys at work when I was working on a public job, that guy got me mad, and they'd tell me, I don't know why you took so much off of him before then. And you just get right with God, get right with him, and move on. They've got good sense. Amen? You ever get wrong with your wife or your husband or your kids? Every once in a while, you have to tell your kids you're sorry. That's hard to do. Every once in a while, you have to tell your wife or your husband, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said or done that. Amen? Look here, we're all going to get wrong. Matter of fact, look here, as cute as some of these kids are, that little girl he was carrying around, I don't know, the mom and dad's right back there. Yes, yeah, I'm like, okay. She's a cute little girl. She really is. And their little boy is a cute little boy. I mean, that kid is star of the show at that house. I seen Hannah come running up there. I thought she was going to hug me, and she's looking for that little boy. He just happened to be right behind me. But you know what? As cute as they are and as sweet as they are, one of these days you're going to have to beat the devil out of them little suckers. Amen? You know why? Because they're just like you. Amen? Amen. As sweet and as cute as they are, they just need the devil beat out of them every once in a while. Amen. And you know what? Christians are the same way. No matter how good a Christian, I've seen some Christians I know, I thought, man, I wish I was half the man that guy was. I wish I could preach like that guy. I've always wanted to preach like Adrian Rogers. That's never going to happen. Amen. I know as a Southern Baptist and I'm an Independent Baptist, but I just wish I could preach as good as that guy could. Amen. He just had a way of saying it, didn't he? But look here, that ain't going to happen. But I do know this. I've seen them and I've heard them. And look here, every one of them in Hebrews 12, he said, if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, he said, you are a bastard and not a son. Oh, look here, every one of us saved, that's been saved by the grace of God, every once in a while we get out of line and God lines us back up. That's just how it works, man. How it works. But anyway, I'll show you the fortitude of Abraham, then we'll quit. Chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You know what Abraham did? He just made full circle. He got back to that place where he first left home. And he got back on that altar, the first place he ever talked to God, and thanking him for his promises and his protection. And all that he went right back. It just goes full circle. It goes full circle. Look, I tell you, have you ever seen them people that get out of church that you used to go to church with, and you see them in town and they act like they don't see you? I love it when they do that. I love it because I get to run them down. Amen. I've seen them, and I've been to the grocery store, and I've seen them, they'll see me, and they'll go, they act like they're looking for something. Then they'll buzz around the corner. You know what I do? I went down the aisle. Hey, come here. I know you. Get over here. Don't act like you don't know who I am. I told him that just as loud as I could. Amen. I said, look, you ain't going down there anymore, but I still love you. You're still my friend. I want you to know that we miss you, and we'd love to have you back over there. Amen. It'd be good just to call them up. There's so many preachers I've known that's bloated. And you know what? I could do the very same thing, and I'm very aware of that. You know what I do? I pick up my phone and I call them. And if they'll answer, I talk to them. There's one of my friends, it breaks my heart every time I think about this guy. I used to preach for him. He pastored a church, well over 200 people in it. But between him and Brother Dwayne Moore, when I first started preaching, those two guys kept my family from starving. It seemed like they had me for meeting every other week. And that guy, he wound up, his family busted up, and he's married to the same woman for 30 years, and in 33 years, he's been married 3 times now. You get messed up real quick. Yeah. A good preacher. I hadn't seen him since all that took place. I noticed kids, when they could stand up in the seat, some of them wasn't even born yet, and now they're grown and got children of their own. And when I saw him, I put my car in park, and I jumped out of my car and ran over and I hugged his neck. And we just talked, man, just like we hadn't seen each other in forever. And like, look here, I'm not going to go listen to the guy preach, but you know what? I'm going to let him know he's got a friend right here. Amen. I even read, he said, you all act like that you never missed a lick. You act like that your friendship is just as strong as it ever was. That old boy looked at him and he said, a friend loveth at all times. When you're up and when you're down, look here, a friend loveth at all times. It don't matter who it is, where they're at, what's going on. You need to have a little fortitude, man, and just get back up. I like people that you just knock them down, you can't keep them down. You know, some people, they beat you down, and they say, bro, stay down. That's what I do in prison. Bro, stay down. Don't get up. Now, some of them boys, they can't stay down. They got too much fight in them. There's a preacher I know in North Georgia. I preach for him. He encourages me so much. He was a drug addict before he got saved, a hardcore drug addict. And he got saved, became a preacher, started pastoring a church. And he hurt his back at work, started taking pain medicine for his back. He was back out on the street, man. Guy pastoring the church. Has a lot of his buddies turned their back on him. I tried to get a hold of him. And I said, finally, he wound up back at that church. He went back to that church and he got hurt again and wound up on the street again. Almost lost everything. His wife, his kids, I mean, put them through the worst misery you could imagine. That old boy, he went to this place, got him some help, got cleaned up, stayed over there 3 or 4 years. That church said, man, our church ain't never been the same. Said, we want you back as our pastor. And you know what? That old boy's been back about 7 or 8 years. That church is doing better than it's ever done. And son, every time I go in there, I remind them of how resilient he is and what a blessing he is in my life. I guarantee, son, he's been knocked down so many times, but he gets back up and he refuses to quit. I said, that's a blessing right there, buddy. Amen. You know, when you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Amen. Your kids could be strung out tonight. Better thank God they ain't. When your kids are this size, you can do anything with them. Or you should be able to. Yeah. I've seen people say, I can't do none of that kid. I'm thinking, he's 2 foot tall, weighs 30 pounds. Sure you can. Amen? But when they do get up to where you can't do nothing with them. Amen? Mine's 21 now. I've always prayed that he wouldn't get messed up. He can do anything he wants to right now. I can stop him about nothing. I could stop it at my house, but I can't stop him from doing nothing. I've even told him this, and I'm going to quit right here. I've even told him, I said, you be yourself no matter who that is, what that is, even if it disappoints me, you be yourself. I can deal with honesty. And you know what? I've even told him, I said, if this thing ain't real to you, don't be faking it. Get out of it. Get out of it. And you know what? He assured me, this is real to me. That's a blessing. Can I tell you, look here, has he been a sinless, perfect son? Lord God, no. He's been a pretty good one, but I've caught him lying a couple times. You know who he got that from, don't you? He got it from his daddy, because he'll lie too. I told them I lied today. I told him, I said, I lied in prison one time. I lied. You know, somebody said, you actually lied knowing you was lying? Yes, I lied knowing I was lying. There's a guy come in a chapel service one time, his eye busted open. He's bleeding, and I said, you all right, man? Everything good, bro? He said, I'm good. And he walked out the other door. Cop comes in and said, preacher, did you see anybody come in here that was bleeding or anything? I said, no, sir, I didn't see nothing. He said, you lied. I absolutely did lie. I would lie that lie again. That's what I call an Abraham lie. Amen? That lie kept Abraham alive. He even made some money off that lie. Amen? He got some goats and some donkeys and chickens and everything else and some gold and silver. He rolled up out of there with a lot of money and his girl too. It's all good. Amen. That's it. That chariot riding a whole lot smoother coming out of Egypt. Amen. God's got a way in spite of yourself. Abraham got right about his life. I got right about mine. There ain't no gang members on my front porch. Amen. There wasn't nobody following him out of Egypt trying to steal his wife and rob him. They said, take all this stuff and get all up out of here. Amen. When you blow it, man, just get up. You ain't the first one to blow it. You won't be the second one. There have been so many people over the years. I'll tell you how far along Abraham got to his commitment. After he had lied, after done all that down in Egypt, God spoke to him again, Genesis 22. And he said, Abraham, he said, I want you to give your only son on this altar. Son, that's commitment right there. That's laying everything on. There ain't nothing like your children. You'd kill for your children. And he said, laid him on that altar. Can I tell you something? Isaac wasn't no little fella. He was grown. He could, look here, he was carrying the wood up there. He said, hey, man, we got the wood and everything else. He said, where's our ram at? He was grown. He was like these young men right in here. these young men, these young people right here. He said, Dave, what are we going to do for a sacrifice? He said, God will supply him one. You know, he had lived for God so good after he had faltered that his son, he got up on that mountain, got up there and he said, son, got to tell you something. You're the sacrifice. You know what he did? He said, okay. That's pretty big right there. He crawled up on that altar, you know, because his daddy said, son, you're the sacrifice God told me to give you. His son said, okay. Son, sir, can I tell you something? You ought to live in such a way your children would follow you and do whatever that you'd ask them to do. And believe that you knew God enough that God was going to supply a sacrifice. It got so far, he had the knife up, getting ready to plunge it down on him, and the angel said, ho, now I know. Now I know what's in your heart. Look here, God's going to take you to the brink sometime. You've got to show a little fortitude, man. You say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've blowed it. There's countless people that I could see over the last 30-something years of my preaching. I thought they'd never make it. And when they got down, they got right. And they got up. And they're going on. That's fortitude. Abraham had some fortitude. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for Brother Mark and Unity Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for their friendship and their fellowship. I pray that you'd move on us as your people. Help us, Lord, to have an altar of commitment. Lord, help us to put ourselves, our families, everything about us on that altar that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.